यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाभिर्विश्वावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so now reading from Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, now extended explanations from Jivadharma chapters 26 to 28, overview of Rasa Tattva, page 79. Sattvika Bhava has four levels, depending on the intensity of the pure devotion. Dhumayita, smoking, Jwalita, smoldering, Udipta, a light, and Sudipta, intense flaming. Ruksha Sattvika Bhava, dry emotion, is mostly Dhumayita, smoking. Right, so it's the lowest level. Right, so we see is even though, the person was, you know, we would consider totally on, totally here by our modern standards to be, you know, really on fire. But, you know, and he made the comment as when he stopped spinning that he said smoking. But actually, that's the lowest level of ecstasy, from the standpoint of the Vedic perspective. So dry emotion is mostly dumita, smoking. Snigdha sattvika bhava, wet emotion, generally reaches the higher intensity levels. Rati is the cause of the most wonderful and inexplicable bliss. But because ruksha bhava lacks rati, it is flaccid and thus without splendor. Because the point is until there's rati, where's the drive? Right? It means there is some aspect that there's a taste there and there's other things like that that can be there. Or lower than that on the intellectual platform, you know it's proper and all that, so you put in your proper endeavor. But it won't have the natural spontaneity having rati. Because rati means there is an attraction. It doesn't mean that, oh, I have an attraction to Krishna. It means it's constant. You have a relationship based on that. That's how you see everything. You know, it's just like, let's say, you have a relationship with somebody, so when you go out walking and that, you'll go, oh, this would be a nice situation for them. Or you're going, so, oh, hey, they might like this. Or, you know, oh, I could get that for them. You know, you see everything connected with that relationship. So that's the point. Rati's like that. So just now and again in a kirtan or in a darshan or in a class, then we might have some feelings. That's not rati. Right? You know, it's the beginning stages of devotional service and it's very glorious, but it's still, they're talking about, you know, on the level of prema, the aspects that are there and the intensity that's there. So it doesn't compare to here like that. It just doesn't compare. Yes.
Does it mean that without sthayi bhav, none of the other bhav can happen?
It means you might see some, like I mentioned before, you might get some of the sattvika bhavas or some of the anubhavas like that, but they're going to be not very strong. They're going to be like the gauna. They're not going to be the mukhya.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's going to be, something's there, because emotions are there. The living entity is conscious, is alive, has feelings, has all these things, and so depending on what's there, there's going to be some intensity. So on the material platform, you're going to see these levels also. We're going to say it's at these different levels. But even they call it, you know, it's really happening here, it still doesn't compare to what's going on there. That's the whole point, is the best what you have to offer here doesn't compare to the least that there's to offer in devotional service. So the taste in devotional service, even at the small, lowest level, is greater than whatever there is on the material platform. So that's important to understand. So that's one of the elements that you could say is there in Nishta, is that faith that there is nothing else other than devotional service. Devotional service encompasses everything. everything else being a reflection. If you have devotional service and you reflect that in a mirror, what's reflected? Devotional service. But because in seeing the reflection, we don't see devotional service. Therefore, we give all the names and all that of stuff that is, we don't call it devotional service. And so the scriptures then will give titles and things like that, because the scriptures are there to explain to us. I mean, they explain the transcendental platform, but they give access for us to approach the transcendental plane. So it has to be in terms and everything that we can relate to. Right? Even though they may be very advanced, it may take us some study to be able to get accustomed with them. But still, it's going to be giving these understandings here, because it's not that those, that aspect of the jnana and kriya shaktis being, without the icha shakti connected to Krishna, the mechanics are the same in the spiritual world here. Just, you know, it's higher quality. Just like you may have a Rolls Royce, or you may have a Fiat, something. It's the same principles that are worked. Just the quality of the other one is so good. You know, the Fiat, you close the door, sometimes you have to undo it, close it again a little harder. But, you know, the Rolls Royce, you just bring it close and let go, and it closes itself in just perfection. You know, so I'm saying it's the same principle. Doors are open, doors are closed, you push on pedals, it goes fast, push on all the pedals, it breaks. You know, so all that's going to be there. It's just that it's the quality is there. So the spiritual realm, the quality of Jnana Kriya is so much greater because it's connected to Krishna. We're seeing it in context with Krishna. So here, even in its just reflected glory, we consider it so great, even though it doesn't compare at all. It's only, you know, a millionth or a billionth of a portion of the glory of the spiritual world is what's happening here. So what can be experienced here is so less compared to what's going on in the spiritual world. So the principle is that because the rati is not there, it doesn't have that same drive, it won't have that intensity. There's an interest, just like there's desire and there's need, right? So rati is need. Like that. That's the whole point. That's what prema, it's need. It's required. You must have it. It's necessary.
Sorry.
Sean.
I have no time to get dressed.
I see. But at least you have to come, Sean. Could have been worse.
Some emergency.
I mean, in the history, at least the guy that, you know, is famous for shouting Eureka and running all over the place. You know, so we're doing okay. And it matches. And it matches. That's the matching.
Okay. Lots of dramas.
Lots of dramas, okay. So without the rati, you won't have the same intensity that is there. So that's important. That intensity must be there. So that intensity will come because of that attraction to Krishna. So then opportunities to express that attraction, that will come. So we have a desire, right? So it's within sambandha. We see it's an interest. You know, it's just like you walk by on the street and in the window there's some nice display and there may be an interest. Oh, that looks nice. But you keep walking. But if there's a need, you're looking for that, you're walking down the street, you see it, and then you walk in the store. So it's different. Does that make sense? So, therefore, and that's the fun part, is just that desire is so much more intense than anything you have in the material platform. If you compare them, you can see there's a difference. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Vrajanath. Gurudev, I understand that Satvika Bhava blossoms in the heart as a result of enormous good fortune. How shall we understand the Bhavas expressed in stage performances by artists and by many other persons in order to achieve their particular worldly objectives? Right? Because you see is that on the stage, the actors are showing so many emotions and all that, or, you know, other material persons, they put on a whole show on how much they need something, they're going to die unless they have it. Or, you know, there's always something like that. Goswami, Satvika Bhava springs from sincere execution of unalloyed and unmotivated devotional service, is Vaishnava Bhavam, spiritual emotion expressed by pure Vaishnava devotees. Right, so it's coming from unalloyed, so it'll be sattvika bhava. It won't, so anything on the material platform can't be the sattvika bhava that's there. It may have an element of sattva to it, that you're following the rules, you're doing everything nicely. You know, Dharma, I mean, the Nakya Shastra says with this emotion goes these actions and these kind of tones of voice or these movements, and you follow that because these are, it's only documenting what happens to the great personalities. Then you follow that, then that mode of goodness and all that, and then you may be able to give a very excellent performance. All the other inferior bhavas are divided into four categories in a descending scale. Ratyabhasa, false semblance of love. Sattva bhasa, impure emotion that is a distant and loose resemblance of pure emotion. Nisattva, postured emotion for a material purpose. And pratipa, emotion born from a hostile attitude. The emotional attachment expressed for the Supreme Lord by the aspirants for salvation, such as the monistic Mayavadi sannyasis of the Shankara school, upon hearing topics about Krishna, is called Ratyabhas. False semblance. They've heard, they're hearing from pure source. And in that association, there's going to be a mood. So the chit potency is there, so they're affected. But the point is, it's not actually real affection, because it's not based on sincere execution of unalloyed and unmotivated devotional service. So in other words, there's no intent for pure devotional service. For them, it's just a piety. When narrations about Krishna's activities are heard by the dull and materially conditioned, they may feel joy, astonishment, and material sentimental emotion known as sattva-abhasa, which superficially appears like the ecstatic, transcendental, pure emotion of sattvika-bhava. Soft-hearted women, empiricists, and mimamsaka philosophers may experience this emotion. So they have that mood. So there's emotions there, feelings, things are happening. So they feel empiricists because they think a lot and all that. So the intensity, the intellect, the focus. That if they focus on this, it may give some that, or the mimamsaka because they're doing karma. And when they hear how someone's done so nicely something and everything, how perfectly, then they may get these kind of feelings. Does that make sense? So now the other one is Ratyabhas, this is Sattvabhas. So one is, it's the Rati itself that's being experienced by others. There, kind of, there's a semblance of that because they're in that environment. They're not in that environment, it's not there. The other one is that because of Sattva, because of that focus and that on that aspect and appreciation of the emotions and all that, then there'll be something that's there. Does that make sense? Yes.
Why can the difference be like this, that the third verse of Sikshastra said that anybody who follows the principle of Trinadapi Sanaya Chaina Sarora, then he can chant holy name always.
Yes.
And we see some of the Mayavadis also chant holy name always, but because the goal is different, that's why, though externally it seems that they are experiencing the same emotion, but it's very much different. Whereas for the materialistic philosophers, others, their emotion is based on their previous conceived notion of material enjoyment related.
Maybe, but you might find that the mimamsakas are chanting all the time. Let's say the mimamsakas, you know, in their particular line of the Panchopasana are Vaishnavas. Mm-hmm. You know, so they hear Ramayana, Mahabharata, and all these, and so they feel so. I wouldn't necessarily say that. I would say it's a matter of the amount of purity. So if you're talking about here, he's talking about monistic Mayavadi sannyasis of the Shankara school. So they're not talking about any Mayavadi. They're talking about the sannyasis who live in the monasteries. So that means they're going to be very much purified.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be basically as materially as pure as you can get, you know, except for the Tapaloka or something. But they're going to be quite purified. So because of that, they're affected by the environment. The others are feeling the emotion they feel. You know, it's just like in a crowd. There's a feeling. You also feel that. So that's why we're saying false semblance of love. You know? Like you're there and the crowd's going, yeah, and then you feel like, yeah, you know, like that. But otherwise you wouldn't do that.
Okay.
So that purity they're able to appreciate. You know, because as it mentions there, it's a Ratyabhas, so that means the sattva is not an abhas.
Mm.
The sattva, they're on sattva, they're not on shuddha sattva. Or they may even be touching that Sudha Sattva, but it's not connected to Krishna, so it won't have Rati. So that's why it's descending. Because any of these could be chanting, you know, like that. Then the next one is because of the element of Sattva, more like that in the way of the emotions, at least applied there. Then they're able to appreciate the emotional content. Right? The other one is they're just catching that flavor that's there. This one is the emotional content. Does that make sense? So there's a slight difference that's going down like that. Then the next one. The postured sentiments, often expressed through crying and horripilation, displayed by persons with duplicitous hearts, by stage actors, and by those using such display to achieve their mundane goals, are known as nisattva. Generally, such hypocritical persons are hard-hearted materialists. But by constantly exercising their tear glands, they produce artificial tears, and soon such false crying becomes second nature. So if they're really good at it, well, I've seen, you know, you have actors, they can cry on demand. And everybody else, even other actors, are freaked out of it because they're not that good. You know? And so that will be there. So the actors, and then of course the sahajis will be here. So the one is that they're trying to, their dupliciousness is trying to show that they're great devotees, so then they're making a show of this. The other ones are actors. It's duplicious because they're not that part, but they're just acting in that part. And it's acting so you'll think that they're great and fabulous. And, you know, I mean, in other words, that artist mentality is that they'll be famous and respected and all those kind of things. So they're doing like that because they don't think that they're going to get any recognition. They don't work as hard. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Like you can see, a great actor, he's with one director, one kind of thing, all this thing, and they act so well. But the same actor in another situation is terrible. You know, because it's not a big budget, it's a smaller thing, they don't really put in the effort. And, you know what I'm saying? So you're going to get is that there is that mundane aspect. And generally you see they're hard-hearted. Like that. And so it's like that they make a good show, but they're not necessarily nice people. You know, it's kind of like if an actor's a nice person, it's rare. Like that, you know, like that. So it's yeah. Okay. When one performs activities that go against Krishna and his edicts, fear and anger arise. These emotions are known as pratipa bhava abhasa. Kamsa's fearful demeanor is a fine example of pratipa. Right? He's going against it as he's feeling all kinds of emotions. So, because they're feeling emotions, you think it's good. You know, just like you do something wrong, there's strong emotions. So some people become attached to feeling that strong emotion by doing something wrong. Like that. So that would be this. So it's connected to Krishna. You're doing something against Krishna. You know, so that feeling that, oh no, we don't care for Varnashram, we don't care for that, we're devotees, we're not this body. You're doing something against what Krishna says. Because, yeah, we're the soul, we're not the body, but that doesn't mean we're against Varnashram, we don't follow the rules that apply to the body. Otherwise, how do you regulate your life? How do you regulate the soul? What's to regulate? You regulate the body and mind, the gross and subtle bodies, that's what you're regulating. So if you don't use Varnashram, how are you going to do that? You know, of course you can say Pancharatra, but if they're rejecting Varnashram, there's a good chance they have nothing to do with Pancharatra either. You know what I'm saying? You're generally not going to have somebody who's, you know, fully does puja regularly, always does that, is very careful about how he does and all that, and he doesn't believe in Varnashram. That's going to be really rare. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, the point is regulation, they can see the value of it. One's directly connected with Krishna, the Pancharatra is regulation directly connected with Krishna, and Veda is indirectly connected. But it's so designed that they match perfectly. They connect together very nicely. So does that make sense? They go very nice. So here is that, so one might feel some feelings in there and feel that it's spiritual and all that because I got some strong emotion, but it's not, it's against the Lord. So there'll be light in devotees, and by chanting and association, this will gradually go away. But you see with Kamsa and all that, it doesn't gradually go away. Just at one point, Krishna kills them. Then it goes away. Yes.
Sometimes trying to explain the spiritual and mundane emotions, devotees give a comparison of catharsis as in Greek drama.
Okay.
So in which category, actually, according to this description, we can put that emotion?
It'd be in the third one, the posture of sentiments. See, is that we always have to remember the material platform, are we accepting it as real or not? It means spiritual is real, the material is not actually real. It means it may be something by the modes that we're going through. You know, because you mentioned it's based on Greek drama, so drama is drama.
Yeah.
You know, so you set up the stage, it's like this. If I have the stage, I have the audience there, I come out, I say certain things, you know, to get the audience involved, and they feel emotion, and I'm doing like that, it's a performance. Okay, it's not any different if I take all the chairs, put them in a circle, everyone sits around, and then leading the discussion, I try to bring out the things, and as people say stuff, I try to get it going in a certain direction and all that, because I'm doing that to get a particular emotion. And that emotion is because of spiritual or because of I need that taste. So it's like it said here. It's like such display to achieve their mundane goals. So even as being done by, you know, a psychologist or this or that or, you know, some well-wishing person, but it's on the material platform, it still has that. So that's why there's a taste there. Sometimes, let's say, people have problems in their life and all that. They go to some devotee who knows a bit of psychology and all that, and they speak and they bring out all kinds of things, like you said, catharsis. They feel better and all that. But they feel better because they felt emotions. But it's not that necessarily has anything to do with devotional service. It may indirectly, that now if you can relax about it and now move on without having, you know, envy and hatred and other bad qualities towards, you know, others, especially devotees, and it's useful, but you can't call it spiritual. You know, it's just like you have a thorn in your foot, you can't walk properly, so you take the thorn out and now you can do it. It's not that the taking out the thorn is a spiritual process. It's an indirect process that you can use in Krishna service, but know where it lies. But because we're attached to it and I had the feelings and all that, it must be spiritual. No, it's that we're identifying with this, the living entity, being a person. They're identifying with these things. Therefore, they feel some emotion, they feel happy. And in that happy state, you're generally more generous and more broad-minded and more open to suggestions. So, yes, it can be a better state. That's why in the Vedas, in the Varnashram system, then people take care of their desires. They have desires, therefore they become a householder, they take care of that. Or their desires and renunciation, they go into those ashrams and engage them. Does that make sense? You know, so let's say you have somebody, there's something they wanted, they got it, so they feel happy. Another person has something, but he's figured out how to get rid of it. You know, he's also happy. So it's just a matter of where you get your happiness. So it's just a matter of engaging that happiness. Then that's all. So you have money, you have family, you have a house, you have the position. Then you're able to relax and do devotional service. Well, if you don't, you're always in anxiety about them. So it's just the same as getting a house. So if you can say getting a house is this, you know, total spiritual ecstasy, then you can say yes, this is spiritual. But no, it's just this nisata. The emotions that you feel are there, but they're not actually sattva. They're engaging the lower desires and needs in Krishna service. So even if it's done in a sattvic position, but it doesn't mean that material sattva doesn't have passion and ignorance in it. The Brahmin is doing his brahminical duties, but he identifies as a Brahmin. He's not, he's a soul. He's doing it too, so he gets the benefits of going to the heavenly planets or a Gopaya situation. That's still passion. So he's in ignorance, so he thinks he's the Brahmin, and he has the desires that he wants from the brahminical activity, though he's situated in goodness, and he's probably situated in goodness, though passion and ignorance are there. So that's what we're saying. Nisattva means it's not sattva, because of the drive of the passion and ignorance. So they're thinking, oh, I'm dead, I've been wrong, there's injustice, or, you know, I lost this and that, and I feel so bad, and then someone takes you through, and that catharsis and all these emotions come flooding out and all that, and you feel really good. And all. So, but it's still, it's a mundane element. It's nisattva. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But it may be useful, just like you said, getting some money or getting married or having children is useful in that desires are there, engage them. But the point is now coming to that platform, now you're feeling good, now are you going to engage, go to the temple and do some service, or are you going to go down to the beach and have a party? So that's the point. It's not spiritual in itself. It means it brings you to a better state of mind. Now what will you do with that? Because we tend to think, oh, because it helped us, it's just as spiritual as chanting. No, that's why the acharyas give all these distinctions, so you know what's pure chanting and what's not. Otherwise, then as you said, neophytes will always try to make whatever their position that's the way it is. It's just like, let us say, we'll just give an example, mid-late 70s, then all the guys, brahmachari, chewing a piece of wood for breakfast, that kind of stuff, women spit on them, brahmachari, and that's it, the grihastas, they're right off, pooper time, I think was the phrase, it's like that. So then, these same brahmacharis, then after Prabhupada went and all that, and then their drive is kind of going down in that. So starting around 80, 81, they all started getting married. Or at least there was enough volume of them getting married. Now it was okay to be married. Because the same guys were saying, these grihastas are a write-off, right? The brahmacharis that didn't say that, they were still brahmacharis. But the brahmacharis that are going, the grihasta is useless, like that, they all got married. And now because they're married, it's about themselves. Right? I'm a brahmachari, so everyone else is a write-off. Now I'm a grihasta, now the brahmacharis, they're just faking it. It's like, let's get real here. We're being real. We're being realistic. Like that. So it's the same thing. It's just the mentality. It's wherever, whatever we're doing, we'll have a tendency to say that, this is spiritual. Because it's important to me. I do these things, I feel good about it, this is spiritual. And so that's why we have to follow the acharyas, because they'll point out what is and what isn't, what is useful and what's not. So as these things are there, but if we identify with it, then we'll have a problem. Then instead of helping us, it'll take us away. So therefore, let's say, in the modern context, then we're having some problem, we go through some kind of new agey kind of experience that brings out the emotions and makes us feel more relaxed, then fine. And we're able to get absorbed in our service, and that's great. But now if we start to identify with the new age, that this actually has it, I did devotional service so many years, all these things were pent up and nothing happened, so the new age is really the thing, we have to introduce that, devotees should follow that, that really helps devotional service. Now you're on the mundane platform, now you're identifying with it, now you're dealing with the mother ignorance. And you'll see these people go away, and unfortunately take a few people with them. You know what I'm saying? So it's one thing, you use it, fine. But if you identify with it, then it's lost. So one has to make that distinction. You hang out with people who talk esoteric things and new age things and all that, try to see the connection to Krishna, engage others and inspire them, Krishna talk. Great. But now if you identify that, we're in this group and, we're together and we're doing the real preaching here and the more, really, dying, then you've missed the point. Because it's not based on Krishna. It's not something that's... The only thing recommended by the acharyas is that you are going to use examples and vocabulary, tone. You're going to make the presentation that the person you're talking to relates to what you're talking about. Right? So the third stage of the logic, right? What's that? Udaharana. It means you're giving example and taking them through and trying to remove the doubts. So you're going to make it specific for the person. Right? So it's not that, because we use New Age things and therefore that's dynamic preaching, and if you use just straight Vedic things and exact, then that doesn't. That's bogus. The point is for the person what will work, that's what you use. That's preaching. So preaching, the mechanics of it doesn't change. What you're teaching doesn't change. The thesis is the same. The thesis is still, I'm not this body, I'm the spirit soul. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The ultimate goal is to develop love for him, and the process is through chanting. That doesn't change. It never changes. And if you've changed that, then why even call it preaching? Call it something else. Call it Suri Dham Sarva Bhutanam or something. You know, but don't call it devotional service. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the problem, is that we mistake sattva as devotional service. And we think what we're doing and the benefits we're getting is devotional. So that's why it's ni-sattva. It's not even sattva. Let alone it's not transcendental sattva. Most of the time it's not even material sattva. We may be using basically sattvic environments. You know, the yoga, the astrology, and Ayurveda, or whatever it is that we're using. You know, which are the apara vidyas that are, situated for, helping one be situated in goodness. But our motive for it is not goodness, it's passion and ignorance. Does that make sense? You know, we're preaching to somebody who's a vegan, and, they take up Krishna consciousness, but then when they move into the temple, then the temple has to be vegan. So that means they have a mundane identity, because we're not vegan. We're not just vegan. But they, if it's not vegan, as an identity, they can't relate to it. So that means it still has that mundane element. Someone like that should, be in their own environment and slowly, slowly get purified. But if they come to the temple and now Krishna has to be vegan, why bring him into the temple? Krishna's not a vegan. Vegan or vegan?
Vegan.
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 Okay. Because the other's vegetarian, so they got to be different. Vegetarian. Maybe that's it. We're vegetarian. That's it.
Maharaj, it seems these four levels of experience is like the quite common thing that we have with people in this world. Like the last one is anybody who always have to protest against something which is a standard.
Yes. It means, in other words, they're going against, in other words, V-karma, the ecstasy you get from V-karma.
And the third level is the politicians. Though they don't have good qualities, they have to project it.
So yeah, they have to be great, shaking hands, kissing babies, doing the whole thing.
Second level is basically...
Yeah, but that third level is also will be... actors will be those who are, sentimentalists they're possessed, proposing themselves as very advanced, but they're not, and all that kind of thing. So the whole New Age thing can go in there, and, because you're trying to get that feeling, all that, things like that. But if you talk to the person other than at that point, they don't talk like this. You tell them, hey, that guy over there looks like he's breaking your window of your car. You won't go, oh, wow, that's so unfortunate, but he must be really indeed. Maybe that's why he's... suddenly the whole New Agey voice and tone just disappears. So you get a taste from it. And fine, they're getting a taste. It's better they get a taste from that than from V-karma. So they are a step up. But at the same time, many of them also have a side where it's against the actual tradition. Like that. So even within this, you're going to have bubbles.
And the second level are those who are following the Vedic tradition, following the rules given, and then the sattva-bhav.
Yes, generally like that. Like that, is they're going to be following the Vedic and like that, but they can even be even soft-hearted women. It's just that there's that mood that's there that even anything they can they like that. So that's what I said. But yeah, empiricists and yamamsikas. In other words, karmis and yogis who are following the Vedas, then because of that being situated in goodness, they may be, appreciate and then some sentiment will be aroused. But it's just sattva-abhas, that it's not actually spiritual, it's coming from the material, it's generations coming from the material, but if they're in association, it's nice. Like that's what, you have these Bhagavad Saptas and all these people are there, and they're getting, so like it said, you may feel joy, astonishment, material sentiment, they're telling the story and how it goes and this and that, and all these moods come up, and then when they fall asleep, they do a little bit of a kirtan to wake them up. So that's the whole point. Just that they have to do that, you know it's not transcendental. Otherwise, why are they falling asleep? So that's the whole point. Does that make sense? Then those who are tend to be situated on that kind of spiritual platform in the association of Vaishnavas may experience that. But it's not actually real because it's not their platform. They still see, they don't accept the form of the Lord. But because they're on that spiritual platform, they can appreciate that those activities. You know? And how nice it is and all that. But they haven't come to the conclusion. But you see some being on that platform, getting that experience, then see, oh, this is different. Then they understand this must be transcendental.
Like Prakashan and Saraswati.
Yes. Yes, like that. So it's just, they just see is that there's something more here. But they just immediately go through. So.
Yes.
Good. So that's going down from that side, and then on the other way coming up. Then when the dry devotion like that, then it will tend to just be at the lowest level, just the smoking, like that. So you can see here is even our lowest level of devotee, sincere devotee in their emotions, then you know it's smoking, right? You know, so it's way better than what the karma is, because how often do they attain that platform? Well, yes? Okay. Okay. Vrajanath. Kindly explain the remaining Samagri Bhava, which is known as Vyavacharya Bhava, aggressive ecstasy. Right? So he's already explained about the sattvika, because you will get these things. Just like, you know, in any bait, someone will get, something happens and there's some emotions and all that. So they'll get these things. So they're all going to be on this kind of lower level. But if it's connected with, you know, some connection with Krishna, either directly or indirectly, you know, positively or negatively, that will be put into this category. So you remove that altogether, and then you just have what's going on here. But it's still going to have these levels. Goswami. In all, there are 33 Vyavachari Bhavas. Vi means specifically. Abhi means towards, and Chari means moving. Right? So the chari is still there. So when you're bringing out the chari aspect, then you have some chari, right? So the chari is already there in Yavichari. It's not, so that's not that's two different things. You know, you're saying, you know, how you say specifically towards. So it's moving towards something, then you're bringing out the Vyavichari. If you bring, Vyavichar, you know, what is that? And the Vyabhi aspect, you know. And, so it's moving towards, but when it's now moving the whole thing, having been homogenized or harmonized, then now it's not, that's the sanchari aspect. Does that make sense? So when it's coming into an already existing bhava, that'll be the, you know, so it's a specific bhava that's there, it's moving towards that. So that's the vyavachari. So then it'll come in, crash into that, create some flavor, then it'll become harmonized, and then it will change the direction of the emotion, the main emotion that's going on. You know, it's just like, let's say, someone's feeling very sad. And so then, you know, very tastefully and appropriately, you say something funny. That's the Vyavichari aspect. You're making a joke in a sad situation. So this joke crashes in on the sadness. The person starts to laugh, you know, but then same time it becomes homogenized. So, not homogenized. what do you call it? Harmonized, right? Harmonized, so it will reduce the laugh, and then you start to see the laugh, so it's not so much a happy, but it's also the sad kind of goes, and then it moves in the direction where now you're just kind of, yeah, I guess we don't have to be so, you know, worried about that. So then it creates a soberness, you see? So that is moved to soberness, that's the sanctuary aspect, that it crashes in and creates an effect like that there. That's going to be the Vyavichari aspect. So does this make sense?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. It's just at which point you're taking. So if you're talking about how you have the emotion, the others comes in, you're always going to be talking about Vyavichari. But now if you're talking in the rasa, how this emotion then, because of vyabhicara, changed to that direction, then you're going to be dealing with the sun. So then you're going to say sanchari bhava. So you had this, and then the sanchari bhava took it there. Because the change, that means it had to come in. So it's just a matter of whether you're talking about its entrance or its exit. Whether you're talking about. So, yeah. They are called Vyabhichari Bhavas because they specifically move towards and nourish Stai Bhava. As they, Sancharita, travel throughout the mind, body, mind, and words, they are also referred to as Sanchari Bhavas. Right? So, the one is it's just coming in, but then it becomes about the body, the mind, the word, everything. It blends with that, so then therefore it's called Sanchari. So, in other words, that harmonization, that aspect, that's where it becomes sanctuary, because then having harmonized, now it changes. Does that make sense? Yes, no?
In the previous presentation,
right,
we kind of fixed it that one is contrary to the sthayi bhav,
right,
and one is in support of the sthayi bhav.
Yes.
So which is one now?
So vyabhichara means is in what do you call it?
Support?
No.
Contrary.
Or contrary. Vyabhichara is contrary.
Because that's what he's saying, aggressive. Aggressive means contrary.
Right.
That means it crashes in.
Right. And
then when it harmonizes, then as it moves, now it's going to be supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's going to take a different
form.
You know, like we said, the person's sad, you tell this, you know, you make this kind of pleasant, subdued joke, and then they laugh. That's the sun. That's the vyabhichari aspect. It's
mm-hmm.
just come in and it's opposed,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's contrary too. But then it harmonizes.
That's from
you. Huh?
That's from
you. Yes. Yeah, or mayonnaise. And so then now it's supportive of, because it's not the main flavor, because you see is now after that the laughing is not the main flavor, the husky is not the main rasa, but that sadness now that is there has been transformed and then it takes on something else. So it's always in support of. So there's just different aspects of the same thing. Depending on which aspect you're talking about, you use that vocabulary. So that's the whole point, is that there's a difference. That's why the vocabulary is there. If there's no difference, then the Vedas don't give a new vocabulary. Right? Then it's the same thing. Yes.
Also the aspect, there's more than one vyabhichari bhava acting. If it is only one, then this complication to the narrative. One acts and then it goes in one direction, and the other one, which is actually quite different from this bhava, comes into picture,
mm-hmm.
and then it changes the direction in another way.
Yeah, another constantly. Yeah, so you see that they'll be constantly going on.
That happens all the time in Krishna's pastime.
Yes, it's constantly going on.
All the time.
That's the whole thing, is that it's always, these aspects are always happening. Something's there and it comes in, and so let us say, it's just like Krishna with Kaliya is there. Balaram is just smiling. You know, Mother Jashoda is freaking out. You know, the cowherd boys have another mood. And so these are all these different moods that are coming up. So there's some main mood. So the parental rasa is there, then this other one comes in. And then it completely changes, and then you have to do some other aspect to stop, and this and that. So that's the whole thing, is the vyabhicharis are what are creating the constant taste, the constant variety in taste. You know, and then you're going to have the different things that Krishna does, the things connected to him. So that connection between him, between the vyabhicharis and the vibhavas, then it's going to create all the anubhavas and the satyaka bhavas. So they're all nourishing the sthayi bhava. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. They are waves that arise from the nectarine ocean of Stai Bhava, causing them to swell before they return to the source. So they're coming from the Stai, and they're coming up and they're going down. And that's the waves of what creates all the interest. Like that. The Stai is steady. Like you see, under the waves, the ocean is steady. It doesn't move. And so the waves are at the top. The 33 Vyabhichari Bhavas, bodily symptoms, which manifest in ecstatic love, are as follows. 1. Nirveda, indifference. 2. Vishara, moroseness. 3. Dainya, meekness. 4. Glani, a feeling that one is in a faulty position. 5. Shrama, fatigue. 6. Mada, madness. 7. Garba, pride. So you can see is that they can, all these can move between each other. You know, you're feeling indifference, then you become morose, and if there's meekness, and there's feeling faulty, you can be, how you say, feeling, oh, what is it? Faulty position. You know, then they get fatigued and faulty, and then you may go crazy, and then you try to counter that, then you get pride, or we're fabulous, and aren't that. You know, that's always the thing, people that are feeling down, you try to make them feel proud. So they're having that, you know, that faulty position. I mean, any of these first ones, and with pride, they try to adjust it like that. And then from that comes doubt. You know, you're so proud, but then like this, and then shock. You know, it doesn't work out. You know, so all these things. Avega, intense emotion. 11, unmada, craziness. So that's different from mada. So it's really, you know, there was madness and then craziness. It's just like, yeah. And so then, Apasmara, forgetfulness. 13, vyadi, disease. 14, moha, bewilderment. 15, riti, death. 16, alasya, laziness. 17, jarya, invalidity. 18, vrida, shame. 19, avahita, concealment. 20, smriti, remembrance. 21, vitarka, argument. 22, chinta, contemplation. 23, mati, attention. 24, driti, forbearance. 25, harsha, jubilation. 26, outsukya, eagerness. 27, argya, violence. 28, amarsha, anger. 29, asuya, jealousy. 30, chapalya, impudence. 31, nidra, sleep. 32, shukti, deep sleep. And 33, Prabodha, awakening. So all these different ones can be there. So depending upon the Stai Bhava, different ones will function. And so therefore then they'll take part in different ways, and you'll get different experiences of what Anubhavas and what Sattvika Bhavas are manifesting. Okay. There are two groups of Sanchari Bhava. Like, it's not enough that we have 33, they have to be in groups, right? You just like all of them. So that's why, as you see, it's such a science. The whole rasa tattva is such a science. Svatantra, independent, and paratantra, dependent. Dependent sanchari bhava is further divided into vara, favorable, and avara, unfavorable. Vara is divided, vara is favorable, divided into two, sakshat, direct, and Vyavahita, indirect. So it's favorable, but it may be direct or indirect. Right? So in the independent, you have independent ones, and in the dependent, then it may be favorable or unfavorable, and then in the favorable, it may be direct or indirect. Like that. So I guess unfavorable is always a bit direct. Swatantra. So Swatantra means the independent sanchari bhava is divided into three. Rati Shunya, without Rati, love. Rati Anu, Sparsha, touching Rati. And Rati Ganda, flavored with Rati. So we can see here is that you're going to get into the aspects of how people are feeling emotions and stuff here. So it's the same science that will set the emotions, how they'll move in that, are the same here as they are in the spiritual world. It's just that the intensity, the depth of that, and the eternality of it, that's going to be what's different. Because here, it'll come up, it'll go, it's gone. But in the spiritual world, it'll come up, that taste that is there, is eternal, though we'll transform into other things that will also be eternal. So it's just the ocean, that's why it's called an ocean of the nectar of devotion. It's not, here there's no ocean, you know, unless it's problems, that's an ocean. That was just one on top of the other, like that. But so we get. But as far as happiness goes, it's not one on top of the other on top. They just keep going, like that. Does that make sense? So the point is, it's there. Then whatever nice emotion is there, it remains eternally, though it transforms. Another taste is there that remains eternally. Another. So you're dealing with an ocean, an unlimited ocean of rasa. Does that make sense? So the experience is unlimited. Well, here, except for misery, it comes to a point and then it goes down. Right? When these bhavas appear in persons who are adverse to Krishna or are directed towards vipaksha, an inappropriate person or object, they are of two types: pratikulya, contrary, and anauchitya, unfit. All the bhavas have four different dasas, phases, right? So dasa means a phase. Like you have the shravana dasa, varana dasa, stages, phases. It's given here. So because phases, because they'll be there, they can overlap in a little bit like that. Stages, you'll see, is one after the other. The phases are maybe the one moves into the other. Utpati, birth and growth of a static emotion. Sandhi, union of two emotions. And sabalya, friction upon fusion of various emotions. And shanti, pacification of emotion. Okay. In here, you have the text. You can edit.
Yes.
This point here, where it says all the bhavas have four different dasas, make that into a new paragraph. Because that's not part of this. This is another. It's pointing out. So all these different things are there, but these bhavas can appear in persons who are adverse to Krishna or directed towards persons who are inappropriate. So therefore, there's contrary and there's unfit. Right? Does that make sense? So when it's adverse, that's contrary, and when it's unfit, is avasita. Right? It's just defining that. Now, all the bhavas have four phases, as we were saying before. Is the birth and growth of static emotion, the union of the emotion, right? The emotion comes up, the union of them, and then the friction that is there, and then the pacification. Does that make sense? So the pacification, that's where it becomes the support for. Like that. It's all a support, you could say. But theirs is more obvious. Because the other ones where it's aggressive, that you can see is in this. Is the birth, growth, the union, because it's a different emotion. So, okay, Vajranath. We would like to know about these four phases of bhava in more detail. Bhava, utpati, creation of a static motion, is easy to understand, but not the others. Where was the utpati?
First one.
The first one where?
First of the four bhavas.
Okay. Birth and growth. Okay. Okay, so birth and growth is there, but the sandhi, the friction, and the pacification. Because that's where you had the question is that, where is it supported? Where is it, because it seems. Yeah. So he's saying the first one, that it starts and it grows, that's straightforward. There's some udipan for that, so it comes up like that. And Goswami, the confluence of two similar or dissimilar bhavas is called sandhi, union. For example, shrama, fatigue, and alasya, laziness, may arise simultaneously. That is a sandhi of two similar emotions. Like as soon as, let's say you tell the kid it's time to clean the house, suddenly, because they become lazy, they become fatigued. So you don't feel good, we'll go lay down in that, and kind of like that. It's sad you can't come with us to go do this. No, I feel fine. So these are sanctions. Harsha, pleasure, and shankya, anxiety, may appear simultaneously. that is the sandhi of two dissimilar emotions, right? Because just like, okay, let's say you suddenly get a bunch of money, so that's going to be pleasure, but at the same time, it's anxiety. Now what am I going to, how am I going to protect it? They can come at once. So they go together. Somebody says, yeah. Or, yeah, you get some mahavishad, and you know, how do you get by everybody? You know, so how are you going to, you know, so simultaneous happiness and stress.
Isn't that name Harshashoka?
Harshashoka. Oh, yeah.
it's interesting how all the human emotions, I mean, even all the living entities' emotions,
yes,
and human psychology and relationships, even when they are affected by the laws of material nature, they all exist spiritually to perfection.
Yes, yes. Because that's the thing, that's what we mean when it's a reflection.
Yeah.
With time, we start to see is that there's no difference between the two. So that the experience and the one is not satisfying because you're not dealing on the relationship between the soul and the Lord. So you're only dealing with the jnana and kriya aspects. And you're putting in your own icha, but that still doesn't do anything. So you're manipulating the jnana and kriya for yourself. But jnana and kriya are only tools for doing something. Like I have the knowledge of recipes and I have the tool of recipes. So if I get out the pots and pans and all that, and with knowledge, and I'm saying, yeah, I could put this in here, and then you would flip it like this, you know, it's just like, okay, I have my frying pan, and I take this knife, and I would cut the potatoes like this, and then, you know, I would put the fire on like this, and I put the pan on there, and then I would throw the potatoes in, but you're not throwing potatoes, you're not cutting potatoes. You know, and then with my hand, I would do this, and see how good I am at this. Most people can't do this, but I can do this, you know, like this, and so will you get anything? And others are going, wow, look at the way he could do that. You know, how quickly he did it with a knife, you know, and then how he does with a pan with his wrist. And wow, he's an amazing, you know, at this. And, you know, whatever they call it, because it's not cooking, but, you know.
Artist.
Yeah, a pan artist, you know, whatever it is, a kitchen artist, you know. So then, but you're getting nothing from it. So, but the technique is exactly the same situation. In other words, what you're viewing is always jnana and kriya. That's what you're seeing, like that. Then you can see subtly the effects of the emotions and all these kind of things. But they're part of the scene because all this is to taste prema. That's why they're subservient to. That's why the sthayi bhava is the main, and then the vichar, vibhava, then is what's, you know, giving that stimulus and all these other add-ins and ingredients. And then, you know, so that's what's being tasted. So these are just being added. So you're going to see them here. That's the aspect of the you could say is that dynamic realization of the madhyama is there isn't anything different. Right? He has an understanding of it. The Uttama has that realization that this is, you know, it's not different from the spiritual world. It's an inferior ingredients, you know, and people are dealing with it in an inferior way. But it's still Krishna and his creation. Anything that is of any value here is Krishna. So therefore Sukadeva Goswami walking down the road, he's walking in the spiritual platform, the spiritual realm. He's not walking, you know, down a road outside Hastinapur. Some extent. Physically he's there, but actually consciously he's situated there. So that's the thing, is that one appreciates that that means there isn't anything outside devotional service. Devotional service includes everything. So the doubt comes up as soon as you say, we only need devotional service, but people say, no, but you have to, you know, be practical and maintain the family. But Arjuna was doing that in Gita as a Kshatriya, as a householder. He was performing his duties to please Krishna. That was devotional service. We'll say his fighting is devotional service. It may be why he's fighting is because he's a Kshatriya and he's a householder. Right? But it's still devotional service. So this idea that my practical day-to-day life is separate from my devotional life, or okay, I chant my japa and it's really nice and all that, then I have to get on the bus and go to work, and now what? And then at work, all the people. But it's still one thing. Why are you going to work? To maintain the family, so you can be devotees. You know, so it's the same thing. It's still devotional service. You're just engaging the indirect aspects. So that's the The point is that there isn't any, all there is devotional service. So now, then within that, having established that point, then we see is now what's pure devotional service. Mm-hmm. So remove the karma and jnana aspects, then it becomes pure devotional service. Mm-hmm. And then you remove the aspect of majesty, and then it's pure unalloyed devotional service. You know, because you're not doing it because he's God. You're doing it just because, yeah, because that it, pure devotion, because it's directed towards the Supreme Personality. But when you remove that because he's God, then it's just because the person himself, that's pure unalloyed. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to remove the sinful of Kriya, establish the pious then being engaged in Krishna service, then that Krishna service being done without karma and jnana, and then that platform of a pure devotional service being done just to please the person alone, because of the person, not because he's the supreme. So that's you could say is the process, the mechanical process in a nutshell. Mm. You know, that's what we're trying to go through these stages. So each one of these stages, then you see there's a huge amount of science behind it, and variety, and what's there and what's going on. And so if one catches that, then it becomes very easy.
You know, every afternoon, right next to their home, there's a bunch of kids, about 12 of them. Right? I mean, they scream, they fight, they run, they throw stuff at each other. And I was looking at them, these kids are insane. And then I stopped and I looked at them, hang on a minute. That's what the coward boys are doing. And I started really paying attention. And these kids are just like coward boys.
Yeah. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Because rasa's rasa. Rasa's rasa.
Yeah.
So what people are looking for, people are only looking for the five main rasas. You know what I'm saying? That's the basis. They're not, there's not a sixth rasa. There's these five rasas. And they may get perverted, they may get distorted, they may all these different things. But still, these are the rasas. You know, the person, the professional person wants to have that parental taste, but only when they want. Therefore, they have their nannies and nannies and the, you know, nursery schools and all these things that you know, maybe an hour or hour and a half in the day or less, they may meet their kids. But they want to be able to feel that thing. I remember one devotee was telling me from an aristocratic background that only between 7 and 8 in the evening, the nanny would dress them up nice. You know, they'd have their bath dressed up nicely, presentable and all that. And she'd tell them, you know, behave like this and that because she, you know, sees to all that. Then they go down and meet the parents. You know, spend some time with the parents and this and that, and then they go back upstairs. So 1 hour out of 24, they were with the parents. The other 23 with the nanny. And it's just, you know, that's the way it is. You know, you don't spend more time with the kids. That would be sentimental, you know. So, you know, so it's just that everyone wants the tastes and all these rasas, but on their own terms. So that's why it's perverted. So the spiritual world is all connected to Krishna, so it's perfect. So whatever goes on here, you know, a bunch of, you know, teenagers together having some fun, it's still the same principle. Just that Krishna and Kara, they'll use pious things. They won't destroy anything. While here is that the karma aspect will come in and they'll do nonsense, bother other people, you know, harass people, make other people feel bad. And that gives them a pleasure. So that's why we were saying about the sinful, doing something you shouldn't. That was the, what was the last of the ones after Nisepa?
Pratipa.
Yeah. Activities go against Krishna and his edicts. Right, so maybe you don't care about Krishna, but what the law says, what the Veda says, you go against that. That, and so then all these emotions arise. So these are our patima. So then you'll see is that aspect will be part of that. So it'll be the sakya rasa with in patima, you know. Or if there's a little bit more, it'll be nisattva, if they're a little nicer. Does that make sense? So yeah, it's exactly the same thing. That's why the mechanics of how the material world work, you know, the basic principles are no different than the spiritual world. Just the quality there is better because there's no time and space, so it works much better. Everything's conscious. So there isn't any other... That's the whole point, is that we can very comfortably just switch our consciousness to there, because otherwise we'll think, oh, I have all this here, and you know, that's very far away. No, that's the standard. Then it becomes, that's here, the material world is far away. That's why you see one of the symptoms of bhavas, they don't care what other people think, because they're situated in the spiritual world, and they don't care what people think of the material platform. Just like we'll be on this material platform and won't care what people think on the spiritual platform. So it's just you've crossed. So yes.
That's why Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when he begins to explain this, he first explains that the difference between a mundane and spiritual emotions, and then he explains this so that, because seemingly many of this we can superimpose from material to spiritual.
Yes.
But the main differentiation, he says, is in spiritual means you're working, all your emotions are reposited because in a selfless endeavor to please the beloved, rather than for one's own self.
Yes. Yeah, so that makes a difference. That's the difference between whether you're dealing with the original or the reflection. Yes.
I'm thinking it's also, you know, the aprakrit level, which is Braj specifically, it makes it easier to understand, but simultaneously it's very difficult to understand for the same point that Krishna as if he's human, but he isn't, and then he behaves in a way that we can relate, but also he is the Vishayi, so it's a little bit tricky actually.
Yes, but you have the aspect is that if Krishna is rasa, right? Because he is eternity, he is knowledge, and he is bliss. It's him. It's inherent. You can't. That it is his sarup. So the rasa aspect. Now, tasting rasa means the exchange between one person and another. Okay. So now it becomes. The more it's about the exchange between one person and another, you're still going to use some medium. There's always some medium. But the more that the emphasis is on the individuals, you'll get more of a taste of rasa than if there's more emphasis on the medium. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, it focuses on the medium.
Yeah.
That's why you see in Braj, even though it's more opulent there, nobody cares. Well, in Dwarka, then the medium, you know, being opulent is important.
Mm-hmm.
So it reduces the intensity. That's why you see is that in Queens and Dwarka, the highest they get is Anubhava. They never get to Mahabhava. And they're in conjugal rasa. But they never get to Mahabhava. While in Vrindavan, all the gopis attain Mahabhava. Right, and then the ones in Radharani's group, then the second stage of Radharani, the third. But even the confidential cowherd boys, when they're involved in these pastimes of assisting in the conjugal pastime, they attain that first stage of Mahabhava. So their friends, they attain Mahabhava, while the queens of Dwarka never get there. Like that. So you have that because of that aspect of the medium. So, where it's just about the two people, and that's the main thing, and then to create, you know, to enhance and that, you have something that you're doing. You know, there's something to do, there's some medium there, but it's not about the medium. It's just there as an excuse for rasa. Okay? So now having high quality medium, in that there's certain aspects to it, then we start to think that's beyond the human platform. like the demigods, what they have, and the great sages, and all these different things, and Vaikuntha, and all that kind of thing, then that has that level and that taste. But humans, it's just the least emphasis on the medium. It's more emphasis on the interaction. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why Krishna as rasa, the original position, his original sarup, is human pastimes. Then, as a variety of that taste, then you add in the majesty, and then it'll take on that flavor. You know, so it'll be mixed, and then it'll just be purely majesty. So it'll there, and then you extend more in just how he is existence, he is knowledge, he is all these things. You know, just those bases there. Does that make sense? So if you're looking at just the eternal, which most people, when they think of the unlimited, it's just that aspect, that eternal. Then you have those that can understand and appreciate the mechanics of it. So there's the knowledge of it. So it has that paramount, that secondary aspect. But they're still dealing just on the material platform. They're dealing with either the physical, the subtle, or the metaphysical. Right? You know, they get to that knowledge behind it, they appreciate that metaphysical. But now we add in the Bhagavan aspect, he's the person, but you keep those other two that you get by Kunta. You put less on that, then you get Dwarka. And then you don't put any emphasis on that, you get Braj. So there's just about Bhagavan. And the Jnana and Kriya are supportive. Does that make sense? So it's that Vaikuntha is Jnana and Kriya are very prominent, but it's about the person, Bhagavan. Right? And then Dwarka will be more about the person. But the support of the Jnana and Kriyas is quite important. But in Vrindavan, it's just the Jnana and Kriyas just used. It's not an important element in the way of that the how great and special it is. Does that make sense? It's only seen in the context of its service to Krishna. Does that make sense? So you're going to get that aspect of how the rasa and the taste will blend from one realm to the other. And so the material world means this, that jnana and kriya aspect without the Bhagavan principle. Right? Not need, but it's still personal because it's about us. So that's the problem, is when Krishna is the center, all of the living entities can adjust around that because there's one center. But when each living entity thinks that each is about them, that's where there's going to be a problem. So that's why all the etiquettes are there, so that, you know, each individual person who thinks they're God doesn't bother the other individual who thinks they're God. You know, each individual, I'm the center of the universe. There has to be etiquette how you can live with a universe full of people who think they're the center of the universe. You know, but that then gives rise to the variety of tastes there is on the human platform. So in other words, it's original. And then, so there it gives a variety of taste in the spiritual world, and it enhances the taste there. Here it keeps everyone from killing each other. And if they follow it, then they'll get swargiya taste, swargiya rasa. Right? And if they're just themselves, only the partiva, just the central. But only the Vaikuntha rasa, that's then if Krishna's the center. Does that make sense? Yeah.
When you mention medium, are you talking about what supports and the environment and the settings? Or
The setting you have, the tools, the items, the ingredients of the field of action, field and its ingredients.
It seems that this medium actually enhances the interaction of the rasa.
It does, but is it about? It's just like this. Let us say I give you some nice thing to eat, you know, but it's let's say it's some unique kind of thing. You taste it, yeah, it's nice, you know. But then I tell you, oh, this is from this particular place here, and that is so rare, and only things like that. And I had a friend, and he knew someone, he got it like that. Now the taste is better. That's what I mean. The quality of the ingredients that is important. So the taste is less. So, in other words, you know, it's just like they have to come out and, you know, show the bottle. And this, it doesn't make it, then it tastes better for them. Put it in the glass and they like this. And, you know, okay, you know, like this and that. I've always wondered, what if they don't take it? Do they still have to pay for the bottle? Or, you know, that, you know, so the whole point is that when you talk about the quality of the ingredients, then people get more inspired. While in Braj, it's connected to Krishna, that's all it takes. But the quality of ingredients are so much superior to Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha, the whole of Vaikuntha, that opulence comes from one grain of dust in Braj. One grain of dust in Braj can produce all the opulence in Vaikuntha. That's just the dust. You know, so in Vaikuntha it's manifest there. Braj is just far out. You remember before the dust in Vrindavan, when you didn't have dust in Vrindavan? You know, the Parikram path? It's super fine. So far out.
Like in Marshada. It's powder. It's
get over that. You used to get it when you go around the back, you cross by the Jagannath temple and you come around. Then you start to get into that, you know, before the road. How do you say? B-R-E. Before road era. Or B-A-E. Before asphalt era.
It's almost back to that now.
Oh, it means it's just fallen apart.
Vrindavan is empty. Literally empty. Bruno Mars saying it's just like back in the 70s.
Yeah, that's fabulous, isn't it?
The peacocks are mad, the cows are mad, the monkeys have gone to the forest, there's nothing to eat.
That's good.
Jamuna is back.
Jamuna's clean.
Yeah. So all that time before they're saying, you know, gotta get Jamuna back, all you have to do is just leave her alone.
Stop the factory.
Yeah, that's all that.
To kill Jamuna, so just wait for 2 months, he's clean.
Yeah, it's fabulous. Material nature is so powerful. Yeah, Prabhupada mentioned, they were saying, oh, but all the radiation, so material nature can take care of it. Like, you know, they can't figure it out. It's like the other thing, Chernobyl. They have all these dogs there, thousands of dogs, all just happily running around and everything like that. You know, how are they there? Why are they dead? You know, but they're fine.
They have bears.
Bears. You know. Yeah, brown bears. And I think there haven't been bears in that part of.
Yeah, like 200 years.
Yeah, like that. Bears are there. Where did they come from? You know?
Maybe they were just sleeping
for the last 200 years.
They just woke up.
The dogs are making too much noise. So that's the thing, is that it's Krishna's energy. So. Okay. Okay, Bhava Sabalya, that is the
Viksha.
Growth.
Viksha.
Friction. Okay, Sandhi, you mentioned that. The birth was understood. So friction upon fusion of various emotions. Goswami. Shabalya is a condition where many different bhavas assert themselves simultaneously, causing friction and jostling amongst themselves, and where one bhava even tries to overpower the other. When Kamsa heard of Krishna's pastimes, he experienced a competition between Krodha, anger, and Trasha, fear, in his consciousness. This is Bhava Shabalya. Right, so different ones come up, and so. Yeah.
Maharaj, can I ask what is the source of that pastime that Kamsa enters Vrindavan, meets the gopis,
and the mother,
say, where are you coming from? Who are you?
But then they say is that you know, when they figured out, you know, he's there to create trouble, then
they turn him into a lake.
Yeah, Purnamasi then just takes him, and there's a little kund there. It's right up from the where Yasudev sat. He just got and just dipped him in there, and then got him to work. You know, wash pots, clean this, do that, and like that. And after a while, then of that going on, he's freaking out so much, and they say, "Yo, please, can you just, you know, like that?" It says, under one condition, will turn you back into, you know, your previous form, as long as you never come back here again. That's why you see, you don't hear of him going to Vrindavan because of this pastime.
Is this like village Purana, or is it actually, there's a source in some shastra?
The source would be, let's see, who would the source have been?
Some acharya.
I think for me, the source would have been, we were walking around the end there, and when you come around and you turn in, because you keep going, you go to Mathura. So when you turn in, then I think Govinda Maharaj took me up that little hill and then pointed out the place. And so
it's coming from him.
So as far as I know, it's coming from the Govinda Purana. Now, he would have heard from others. So how far, where it goes to and all that, then I don't know.
Vidyana Maharaj gives the reference, I just can't remember.
Okay.
Because the Goswamis talk about all kinds of things, but much of the time we only catch, you know, they may be in the, it's a lot of times Rajasic Puranas put in these little things like that, and you know, so these little details are spread throughout, because one Purana generally doesn't repeat the same story unless there's a different angle. Mm. Otherwise, why tell it again? It's already been told. So it'll be a different cultivator, a different something else like this, and so they'll tell some different aspect and like that. Then you know from all the Puranas the full aspect of the pastime. But unless you learn it from the angle and the perspective of the Bhagavatam, you won't be able to reconcile all of it like that. So that's why Bhagavatam is the actual, that's the Purana from which all the other Puranas can be appreciated. Mm-hmm. So it'll be there. Goswamis will mention it somewhere. It'll be some little aspect. But because it's not a major aspect, it's not given too much prominence. Okay. Well, Vrajanath, what is Bhava Shanti? So that's when it says, and pacification. When bhavas, which have reached great intensity, are pacified and fade away, we speak of Bhava Shanti, pacification of emotion. Krishna's young coward boyfriends were extremely anxious and grief-stricken when they could not see Krishna. But when they heard his flute, even from a distance, their vishada, trepidation, was instantly calmed down. So it comes up and then something and it goes down. So it'll be something, you know, connected with Krishna. There'll be some aspect of vibhava there. It'll come up, it's another devotee, you'll say something, you'll see a devotee or some situation or something connected to Krishna, and then they'll change. Vrajanath, Gurudev, is there more to be said on this topic? Right. So now he's given the essence so that we understand the thing, because that in the Vedic presentation you'll give the summary of it in like as short as possible, you know, more exact as possible. Then you can give details and go more into it. Well, a lot of times, Wool gives us all these details and then finally bring it to the thing, and who gets to there? And having heard all this, you don't put it that this is how you have to view the whole thing. So they start with the other way around. That's the descent. Start with the essential, then explain as much as is important. So now he's asking, is there more to be said on this topic? Goswami. The 33 Vyavachari Bhavas, as well as the one Mukhya Stai Bhava, and the 7 Gonastai Bhavas, which will be dealt with later, together, total 49 Bhavas. Right? All of them produce. Okay. So that means you're going to have the 33 Vyavicharis, the 1 Mukhyastai Bhava, because you can only be in one at a time, like that. So even if you say, let's say someone like Yudhishthira Maharaj might be a combination of parental and friendship with Krishna, but he'll only be dealing with one at a time. You're either taking that parental mood or the friendship mood. Mm-hmm. So the point is you'll deal in 1 Stai Bhava, the 33, and then the 7 Gona Stai Bhavas, right? The 7 secondary rasas. So that means secondary rasas, your primary rasa, that's 8, and then the 33. So then you'll get 41. So that's how, that's always what you're dealing with. You won't deal with more than that. But the science is given because different people, where they're situated, what they'll deem will be different. All of them produce vikaras in the bodily system and are chitta vritti, tendencies of the heart that produce bhava. So all of them together, they'll produce changes within the heart, within the body, within the mind. They'll all do that. Rajanat. Which specific bhavas do they give birth to? Goswami. They create the 8 sattvika bhavas and all the anubhavas that follow the central vibhava. Right? So there's going to be, because of your sthayi bhava, there's going to be that particular vibhava that's going to create for you. And so then those, so then that will, as an effect, you get the anubhavas and sattvika bhavas. Right? Sthayi bhavas fixed, there's one. Right? Then you add the vyavichari bhavas and the 7 secondary. And then those together, that's what you can function within. Those are the bhavas. So then those being applied to the vibhava, or in context of the vibhava, that gives you the anubhavas and the sattvika bhavas. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes. So basically what we see, it's anubhava and sattvika bhava.
Yeah, that's what we see.
That's what we externally can actually
experience. That's what you can experience like that. But you can see where they're coming from by the mood and all that. You can see which of the vyabhicharis or which of the you know, what's the sthayi bhava or the secondary rasas or by you know, it's like you said, the face is the index to the mind or like that. You can catch from there. But it's all going to be the external symptom. What's happened to the physical is what we're going to see. So that's why the Rasa is there, and you see the Acharyas, they see these things and they say, oh, this is that. You know, like recently, he just mentions that Krishna came back in the Rasa dance. You know, and then how the different gopis, you know, who did what and who said what. And it doesn't say who's who, but the Acharyas say, this one's this one's that, because they can tell by the symptom. You know, like that. So that's, that, you know.
Jiva Goswami in Gopal Champal, he gives all the names. Otherwise,
yes.
We wouldn't know.
No. Because he's going by the anubhavas and the sattvika bhava based on their mood. So they have a particular mood. Therefore, they're going to react in a certain way. So that's the thing. That's why without the acharyas, one will never understand this. You know. So it's not a matter of, oh, I know all this, that makes me special. No, it's that I'm serving those who know this. That's what's special. They know what to do. I just have to follow. You know? You know, it's like I build my own car or I just get in the car with, you know, with someone else. You know? So. That's it. Okay, so we're going to hear.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki Jai Nitai Govinda.